This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you are listening to a special episode of The Kim Baker Show on the Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 28th, episode 1178. This episode is brought to you by BioStar US. Good morning, Horse World.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to the special monthly Kim Baker episode on Horses in the Morning, where our clever co-hosts explore the amazing connection between horses, animals, and humans.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. We appreciate you being here. And thank you, Kim. It's good to talk to you again. I was looking forward to today. I always look forward to the animal readings and everything.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. I enjoy doing the animal readings as well.
And we have a cool listener coming up to do that with. That'll be fun. But I'm really, 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 we're going to go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show, because there's something I really want to talk to you about, and we're going to get all geeky in the second half hour. So, because Kim got to do something I've always wanted to do. It's on, and I actually think it's kind of on Jennifer's bucket list too. But let's go to Jennifer and find out what's on today's show.
On today's Kim Baker episode, brought to you by BioStar US, once Glenn and Kim have sorted through the medicine card deck, that's always an interesting procedure, we're going to have listener Kelly come on and get a reading for her horse Soleil. That sounds pretty. And then next up, we're going to investigate My Little Ponies. That's hard to even say. It's so creepy. And then Horses in Pain is going to take the lead as Kim talks about some case studies. And then rounding out the show, Ed Crothers solves the mystery of good horses gone bad. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Yes, I'm looking forward to you got to go to Denver Comic Con. And I didn't realize till I was talking to you yesterday how big that is.
It's very, very big. They had over 100,000 people over the weekend. They even had a wedding between Batman was the groom, and the bride was, and I'm going to totally butcher this name, and I apologize for Game of Thrones fans, but Deirdre, she's the mother of dragons.
Yeah, I don't watch it either.
So, I don't know, but that was on Monday. They had, I didn't see the wedding, but they had a wedding. They had stormtroopers as ushers, and there were going to be some other great guests there showing up in costume. So, well, their first wedding ever.
You know, I can't really say anything about that because Jennifer and I had a medieval wedding, so in a castle. So we can't really say anything about that.
Nice.
Yes. We had jesters and jugglers and wenches and musicians and the whole thing. So we love that idea.
You know, and that's the point to me. It's like, it's a wedding between two people, and you express it however you want to express it. And whether that works for your guests or not, who cares? Because it's not their wedding, it's your wedding.
Well, about 50% of the people at ours showed up in costume. What we did instead of the normal reception where everybody dances and stands there looking at each other is we had our performers from the acting company did an entire 2-hour show for the guests. So,
oh, wow.
And they wrote special stuff and really they did a nose flute concerto honoring our wedding, and they had written poems and songs and all kinds of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. It was a good time. And I guarantee you those guests have never been to a wedding like that since.
Exactly. That, I mean, and you bring up an excellent point, right? That is a wedding they will remember for the rest of their lives.
Yes, that's true. It is true. We have a video somewhere, but I'm not sure the video would still play anymore. It was on the old VCR tapes. I'm not sure that would play anymore. We should have had that converted over years ago. That was fun. You know, it's one of those things, everybody gets the videos and everything from your wedding, but in 30 years, we've never watched it. All that hassle to get it done, and we never watched it. I think that's...
Yep.
And I don't think we're the only ones.
So, I don't think so either.
No. All right, well, let's get on with the show here today. What are we... we're going to go to medicine cards first. Now,
yep, so,
it's got to be good. I'm going to warn you right now, Kim, that we do these every... You're going to explain a little bit about what they are for new listeners, but we do this every month, and I don't want any negativity because we ate Chinese last night, and both of our fortune cookies were excellent. So I'm just saying that there's no negatives here because the fortune cookies override any negative medicine cards. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So I shuffled the deck, Glenn.
Okay.
And I've got them all fanned out. So you just tell me when, and I will pull the card.
Now.
Okay. Oh, I pulled the turtle.
I like turtles.
This is a good one.
Oh, good.
And it's
See?
Right side up.
Oh, good, good. So that explain to people real quick what they are, what we're doing.
Okay. So the medicine cards are they're kind of like a tarot deck of cards, but they're all animals. And they're based on Native American teachings. And there's a book that comes with them. And if you need guidance or advice on anything, you can shuffle the deck and pull a card and then read the little story about what that animal has in store to teach you.
All
and
right,
you,
cool.
you can do different spreads, you know, like past, present, future, and all those kinds of things. So turtle represents Mother Earth.
All right.
Okay. If you have chosen the turtle symbol, you are being asked to honor the creative source within you, to be grounded to the earth, and to observe your situation with motherly compassion. Use the water and earth energies, which represent turtle's two homes, to flow harmoniously with your situation and to place your feet firmly on the ground in a power stance. Turtle is a fine teacher of the art of grounding. You may even be able to overcome some of your space cadet tendencies. We were talking about stormtroopers earlier. Tendencies if you align with turtle medicine. In learning to ground, you are placing focus on your thoughts and actions and slowing to a pace that assures completion. Turtle warns of the dangers of pushing the river, as evidenced by the plodding place it keeps. The corn that is harvested before its time is not yet full. However, if it is given the chance to develop at its own rate, in its own season, its sweetness will be shared by all. Turtle buries its thoughts, like its eggs, in the sand and allows the sun to hatch the little ones. This teaches you to develop your ideas before bringing them out in the light. Look at the old fable of the tortoise and the hare and decide for yourself whether or not you would like to align with turtle. Bigger, stronger, and faster are not always the best ways to get to a goal. When you arrive, you may be asked where you've been, and you may not be able to remember. In that case, arriving prematurely can make you feel very immature. If you draw the turtle card, it augurs a time of connecting with the power of Earth and Mother Goddess within. This is a reminder of the ally you have in Mother Earth. It does not matter what situation you have created, ask her for assistance, and abundance will follow.
Well, you know, that's a good thing. The turtle's actually a good one for a guy with ADD to get.
Because, yes.
Because I tend to do everything you just said, the opposite of what you just said. So it's a good one to get.
I think we all do. You know, it's just such a fast-paced, instant gratification society these days. So I think we're all used to running around like a chicken with our head cut off. And it's good to slow down and really, you know, think about things and allow things, you know, the little seeds, allow them to grow.
Very good. Well, we are also have our inspirational message for the month.
Yes. If I can find the book. Hold that thought. Oh, okay. Here's a good one. I think it's a long line. Look at a day when you are supremely satisfied at the end. It's not a day when you lounge around doing nothing. It's when you had everything to do and you've done it all, by Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And there's a woman who did a lot in her life.
Yes, yeah. She did do a lot in her life. Although I will have to say that sometimes it is nice to have a day where you don't do anything. It feels really good.
Yes, it does. It does, especially if it's been an unusually tough week for whatever reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're absolutely right. Well, we are going to have one of those days, hopefully on Sunday. We have family coming down, and we're heading over to the beach. We're going to go to Daytona Beach. Ooh. And meet them for the day. So,
nice.
You know, for some reason, sitting on a beach is one of those things. Listening to the waves, that is one of those little things for me that can cause me to actually relax a little.
Yes, I'm right there with you. We don't have beaches. Well, we have beaches on a lake, but not against the ocean in Colorado. But sometimes sitting next to a river or a stream and just hearing the motion, you know, of the water as it goes by, it's very soothing.
Definitely.
So I hear you. Same thing with the beach. I enjoy lounging on my chair underneath my umbrella and just watching the waves roll in.
Well, we
very
also
peaceful.
Before we get to our animal reading for the month, Kelly, we're going to find out about your adoptable horse of the month.
Oh, yes. So this guy is so, so cute. His name is JW. He is 10 months old, and he is just the cutest little chestnut fuzzball. He's got a little white star on his forehead, above his eyes. It looks pretty centered. He is currently halter trained and picks up all of his feet for the farrier. He shows trust and willingness to learn. He's been through the obstacle course and shows no spookiness or fear. He's recently been gelded and has all of his vaccinations, and he is available at the Dumb Friends League Harmony Equine Center in Franktown, Colorado. And you can see his picture on my Facebook page. You can also learn more about all of the animals, not just horses, but all the animals they have available for adoption at dbfl.org. And that web address again is dbfl.org.
Well, I'm looking at his picture on your Facebook page. Go to Kim Jones Baker, and he's so cute. Little colt.
Isn't he cute?
He's a little colt. He's all furry. He looks like he's ready for winter.
Yeah, I think he'll probably start shedding out. Now, I think he'll stay a chestnut. I don't think he's going to gray out at all.
Yeah, you're right. But I think so, too. Yeah.
But you never know. They tend to change colors, so who knows?
And he's just a baby.
He's just a baby. He's only 10 months.
I mean, how cute is that? I mean, all babies are cute.
Yes, that they are.
Well, cool. And give the website once more where they can find.
dbfl.org.
All right, very good. Well, let's do this. Let's bring our listener on here, and we'll chat with her, and then we will get to her reading. We have Kelly on the line with us. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
It's so good to chat with you. Good to have you here.
Yes, I am really excited to hear what Soli has to say through Kim.
Well, let's find out a little about you first. Where are you from?
Sure. Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, cool. Very good. And I assume you're a listener to the show. That's why you sent in the request.
Yes, absolutely. My parents gave me an iPad because they were sick of not being able to have our Skype be a reliable connection for FaceTime with their grandchild. So I was the benefactor of them buying me a little mini iPad. And ever since I got that 2 years ago, I discovered Horse Radio Network and have just loved it. It's been great.
Well, terrific. Well, we're glad you're listening. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Tell us just real quick a little bit about Soli for the rest of the audience. I know Kim already knows about your horse, but for the rest of the audience, just a little bit about.
Well, I got him as a two-year-old. He's three-quarter thoroughbred and one-quarter spotted draft, and
oh,
he is
cool.
Bred for eventing. Yep, and he was shown as a yearling and as a two-year-old in the future event course classes. And then when I got him, that was with his breeder, and then I got him, And he has just been a honey. He's probably one of the nicest horses I've ever owned and has just been a pleasure to train and work with. He's one of those, if you could have a furrowed brow, he would. He's like, is this what you want? Let me try again.
Now, are you an eventer? Is that what you do?
Nope. I just actually, truthfully, I love training up young horses. I keep my horses. I love it when I can get them from cradle to grave. But I am also now a mom. So I was looking for my elderly horse. I knew she was going to not make it through the winter. So I was looking for my next young horse to have, which had been quite a few years before between, since I keep them till when they pass on. And a friend of mine was working at a vet clinic in Wisconsin, and she said, oh my God, there is this two-year-old. You will love him. Because before I'd always done, I was really interested in pretty and flashy, but at the time I had a three-year-old child, and I was no longer that interested in that. I just wanted safe, sound, and
it's
sane.
Funny what happens when we get older, isn't it?
You know, I got older, but really it was having a small child. I just did not want crazy around a small child since she would accompany me to the barn all the time. So,
smart move.
And it was true. He was great. I saw him. I actually had to check his teeth, and I saw these little baby teeth. I'm like, you really are too. Because he was so sweet and so well-behaved. And he's been a doll.
Let's get to Kim and find out. Now, Kim, for new listeners, Kim is an animal communicator and comes on once a month here with us. And she is kind enough to do a reading for one of our listeners every month. And so we're going to do that now.
Yeah, so just so people get a picture of Soleil, he's so beautiful. He looks like a draft horse, but he reminds me of like the Oreo cows. So an Oreo cow, they're black on the front end and black on the hind end and white in the middle, and that's exactly his markings.
Well, on one side, he's a belted Galloway, and on the other side, it's actually a map of North America. You can even see Florida and California and Mexico and the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, so he's the one side is like the straight stripe, and then the other side went into like this weird North America shape. That's kind of cool.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So with the picture, yeah, I only saw the big belly stripe, and that's why I was like, oh, he looks like an Oreo cow, and he's really cute.
Yeah,
really cute. Okay, so Kelly was really concerned, like there's a lot going on with him. He's had some pain issues and stuff, so I focused quite a bit on that. And it was his teeth. I start at the head and go back to the tail. It looks like he has some sharp points on the left, molars in the back on the upper side. So I don't know when his teeth was done last, but you might want to just have that taken a look at. And then his left shoulder, ribs, and hip are all out. On his left hind, now this is a little strange for me. I hadn't really experienced this before in reading his body, but it's like, I don't know, it's like the energy wasn't flowing down the left hind leg. He says he has weird motor, like, control, meaning, like, he doesn't really have a control. Like, the leg doesn't want to cooperate for him. And he says the right hind sometimes gets stiff and stuck. And when I was looking at his right hind, it's more from like the hock down. In checking his GI tract, it's possible that he might have ulcers. And also on the hind end on the left, I don't know. I was looking at the muscles and the ligaments and like the big muscle that kind of goes over the butt. I don't know if he like actually tore it, but it's just, it's not solid and smooth. Like it looks kind of chunky to me. So and that's kind of what's causing something with the left hind. So is that what you're seeing? Are you seeing issues in the back end?
Yeah, no, for sure. He's such a honey, but honestly, it has been like my vet's like, you're paying for my child to go to college right now. because of how much he has a chip in the fetlock that he got when he was 2 years old and getting into a kicking match. So that right hind has a chip actually, but it sequestered itself so that, they said don't do the surgery. It'll cause more problems. But I always wonder, you know, because the right hind has always had a little, it's shorter strided than the left hind is. And then he also, when he was three, so that happened at two, then when he was three, he got a diagnosis because he had had all kinds of weird stuff going on. And my vet for about a year had said, you know, there's this thing, but I don't think it's him, but there's this thing. And then we kept getting these weird blood things. And anyways, it ended up being he has a diagnosis of EPSM. Polysaccharide storage myopathy, sometimes also called PSSM. And that definitely affects that hind end, and the muscles are weird and everything else, and the biopsy is weird. You know, I mean, it's all related to that. So he got that as a three-year-old, and then he broke his shoulder as a four-year-old and broke it badly enough. He had to go to the University of Minnesota, and they had he broke the scapular ridge, and they had to scrape all the bone fragments out of his shoulder. And he had a hairline fracture on the actual scapula itself. So then he was trapped in a stall as a young, growing four-year-old boy for four months, where they wouldn't even let me take him out to hand graze him or even down to the wash stall to hose out his wound or anything. So it's been, he's had like way too many serious problems, health problems happening in his very young life, because he's going to be six in like a month. So he's had a very tough time. And then this last year has been our best year, but he's not really sound enough to, I mean, I train him because otherwise, you know, as my vet and my trainer said, like, you know, you're just going to have him sit if you don't actually ride him. So he's been ridden lightly at the walk with the occasional trot, and he's done beautiful. I mean, he's just such an honest trier. But his health issues have just kept him from being able to be the sound, healthy, happy horse that I wish he could be. So that totally makes sense to me. His left side in particular has been all kinds of problems. I work with an osteopath who's also our trimmer, and she thinks he's got liver issues. He's been on a detox program for like the last 2.5 months, trying to get that under control. And it's just, I was just hoping maybe you could shed, you know, you're confirming things that for sure I agree with.
Okay.
I was just hoping maybe.
Yeah. Some of the therapies that I think he would really enjoy and benefit from are, cranial sacral therapy, acupuncture, and, some form of laser therapy to kind of open up, he has a lot of injury history. So there's a lot of like energy blockages, and things aren't flowing. So if nothing else, like it may not, you know, solve the problems completely, but at least like it'll get him so where things are flowing and like he can function a little better.
And maybe for that liver problem, you could decrease his alcohol consumption. I'm just saying.
Actually, we've used the liver flush from, Omega
good.
Alpha?
Omega Alpha,
Yep. So he's been on a whole entire bottle of that, in addition to some other homeopathic tinctures and things like that. But we do acupuncture, and I also do... he gets the body work with the osteopath, and he also has had chiropractic. I haven't done that as much because the osteopath works with him about every 10 weeks. And I've even gone to like some energy healing, trying to see if that could help free up whatever all those blockages are.
Jeez, Kelly,
you guys don't even know.
There's an email that goes
you
out.
You don't even know.
To all of the practitioners in the state, when you get a new horse and it's like, oh yes, Kelly got a new horse. Yeah. We're good for the next 3 years.
Seriously, I've never explored these before. I have never. This horse has been a PhD for me in all these diseases and all these alternative therapies. I have never had to turn to them before, ever, with any of my horses that I've had, except for acupuncture, with my very, very arthritic elderly horse in her last couple of years. So it's been a brand new experience for me. And it's sad. I'm like that person who totally will buy the snake oils and just hopes that maybe this will be the thing that will turn him around, because he's such an amazing horse. He's so good.
I know you had a bunch of other questions for Kim, so let's get to as many as we can here.
Okay.
Just so you know, Kelly, like, I mean, you're going to be peeling layers for a while to the healing process. So just continue to be patient. So you asked about the new barn. So he said the new barn is great. The people are great. Feels like he's being listened to. He doesn't miss the stall, but he likes shelter when the weather turns. He said outside is great. And then you asked about particular horses that he's with. So he said, and I quote, Baxter is an ass. Remy is great.
you are amazing.
You know, any horse named Baxter is a jerk. It just is. It's that name.
And he is. He is. Foley can't go in with them yet because Baxter is continuing to be such a jerk to him over the fence. They take down boards almost every day because of Baxter.
So he wants to know if he can be with Remy and Elsa. If not, he would just prefer to be with Elsa.
Oh, really? He does like Elsa. That's good to know.
Yeah, and then you'd asked about like where he likes to go to ride. He likes to ride out on the property over by the river canal with lots of trees. Like, all I was seeing was, yeah, I don't know if it's an actual river, if it's like an irrigation canal or something, but then I just saw, like, trees everywhere. So I'm not sure what part of the property that is.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the trails. I'm so glad to hear that.
Oh, okay, great. Great. And I know you had a bunch more questions, but that was, you know, that was all I could cover in the amount of time that we have.
That's fine. I know. It was ridiculous. I was embarrassed about how many I had, but I just thought, you know what? I'll just roam out there, and then whatever gets covered is more than I had before. So I'm super happy to hear that. And it's good to know about Baxter, too, because he really, it's been a problem to where they're thinking about reconfiguring the horses so that he does not end up having to be with Baxter.
And you know, every barn has a Baxter, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yep.
And he's this big black and white half draft who's Soli's pretty big, but like this horse is really, there's no doubt that he's half Percheron. And he just is so, he has his size and he uses it.
He's a bully. He's a jerk. He's that kid on the bus that used to pick on me on the way home on the late bus. He's that
there
kid.
There you go.
And guess what his name was?
Baxter?
Yes. Baxter. Yes, it was.
Oh, well, Kim, thank you so much for giving me that
you're
insight
welcome, Kelly.
And helping, encouraging me on that path. I really appreciate it. It's been a very interesting one, but it's hard to know, like, where do I just say that's it? You know, so it's good to get that encouragement and to hear the things we're seeing.
Yep. I had a paint, same thing. It was like one thing after, I'm like, seriously? And it's just, you just keep peeling the layers and you just keep going. And eventually, like, you'll start to see changes. So, yeah, so don't give up. Just keep going.
You know, Kelly, we had a draft, one of the Percherons we got had a, and Percherons and draft horses are known for having abscessy feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had abscesses, and it was horrible. I've talked about it on the show before. I mean, it was awful. There were channels running through his feet in the front.
Ugh.
And we had everybody out, everybody, when we first got him, this started happening. And finally, Jennifer figured it out on her own, and we managed to get it treated. But it took a year before we were able to do anything, and that horse was walking somewhat a little bit sound. So don't give up. Once the draft horses get the health thing figured out and they get to, you know, be 6 or 7 years old, then they're usually pretty good until they're 18. So,
he is only a quarter draft. He's 3/4 thoroughbred. So
I saw his picture. He's got some draft in there. So,
for sure. But he also, I mean, you got to remember that he's the majority of his genetic makeup is thoroughbred.
I think he'll be fine. Hang in there with him.
Well, thank you so much. I super appreciate the feedback and the support. That's awesome. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Kelly. It was a pleasure to talk with him. So good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We are, by the way, you nailed that one.
Well, no, it makes sense to me now. I'm like, God, I haven't seen this before, like in the energy and like how it's seeing stuff. Well, then when she explained what was going on, I was like, oh, yeah, wow, that makes sense, huh? So next time it happens, you know, I'll understand what I'm reading a little bit better.
Yeah, next time you see a Baxter, you'll know. You'll know.
I know.
I dare anybody to post on our Facebook page a picture of a nice horse named Baxter that doesn't pick on people and is just a quiet little guy. I dare anybody to post a picture. You know, that's also one of those names that years ago, Baxter was kind of an in-name for people, and it's one of those names you don't hear anymore at all.
You don't. No. You're right. You don't.
I don't think anybody's naming their kid Baxter anymore, and that's because they all got a bad reputation. They were all like murderers. So, and I apologize to all the Baxters listening.
Oh, well, that's why it's funny, because, you know, like the horses, I mean, their personality just comes through, and like I said, I quoted him exactly. That's exactly what he said. Baxter is an ass. Like, okay then.
You can just picture him too, can't you? I mean, you just have this mental. I think everybody's got the mental picture of Baxter now.
Poor Baxter.
Well, that's
maybe he'll
nice.
Fill out now.
That's nice of Kelly that she's been listening for a long time and she wrote in, and we really appreciate it. If you would like to, I know we have a couple lined up here for the next month or two, but if you would like to be on the list to get a free reading here on the show, you can do that by contacting me, Glenn, at horseradionetwork.com. If you would like to not be maybe embarrassed on the show or have me picking on you during the reading, then you can do that privately with Kim. Kim does it all the time with clients everywhere. Kim, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's KimBakerAnimalCommunicator.com. And absolutely, I've worked with several people that listen to the show. So if you want private information about what's going on, it doesn't have to be a horse. Like, it could be any animal. Then please feel free to contact me. And again, that's KimBakerAnimalCommunicator.com.
You know, we're going to have to, one of these days, we're going to have to do the infamous Scooter, my pony.
There you go.
We're going to have to do Scooter. I have avoided that because I really don't want to know what he has to say up until this point. Because he's a handful, but we'll maybe one of these days I'll get brave and we'll do that. That'll be interesting.
There you
I'm
go.
Sure the listeners would love to hear.
Absolutely.
All right, why don't you introduce Tigger?
All right, so we are now going to hear from Tigger, who is also amazing in her craft and what she does with Whole Foods for horses. And she is the formulator and founder of BioStar US. And here's our Ask the Expert segment. All right, and we are ready for our next Ask the Expert segment with BioStar US with Tigger. Welcome, Tigger.
Hi, Kim.
How's it going on the East Coast?
It's spring is finally here. Thank goodness.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, it's still pouring rain here in Denver. It's been raining and snowing for the last 3 weeks. In fact, Arapaho Basin is one of our ski resorts. They have 7 feet of snow.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So, spring has not sprung in Colorado yet, but we are hoping so. And you're going to talk to us today about vitamin E. And tell us, why is vitamin E so important to our horses, regardless of the season?
Vitamin E is one of those super antioxidants. It's able to cross the brain barrier, the spinal cord, liver, eyes, heart, skin, and joints.
Wow.
And when a horse gets high enough levels of vitamin E, it can actually work as an anti-inflammatory, which is one reason it's so good for, you know, EPM horses.
Right. Well, anything that has inflammation in it, that makes sense.
Yes, exactly.
So, how do horses get vitamin E? Like, is it in their diet? Is it something that we need to add to their diet?
It's in their diet, particularly if they get to graze 12 hours a day on pasture.
Okay.
But obviously, hay is going to have a lot lower vitamin E because it's pasture that is now dry. So the levels of that antioxidant drop. So,
okay.
You know, it used to be that we thought that horses just got enough vitamin E from hay and being turned out for a couple of hours. But now we're finding out that under the 12-hour mark, you probably need to supplement vitamin E.
Okay. And I mean, for the majority of like competition horses and stuff, they don't typically get pasture time at all. They get turnout time, but they may not get any time on pasture. So they are probably in desperate need of supplemental vitamin E.
Yes, which is why you find, you know, E is generally in all fortified feeds.
Okay.
But there's a lot to understand about vitamin E because it can be made with acetate, you know, nail polish remover. That's one form of it. Yeah. One of the newer sources is palm. Now we think, palm. Ah, food. Well, the problem with palm is that Indonesia has been destroying a third of its rainforest to grow more palm. That has displaced the Sumatran tiger, the Sumatran elephant, and the orangutan. When they are extracting the oil, they use a solvent, and it's called hexane, which is a neurotoxin.
Oh.
So I really recommend a vitamin E that is really from food. And the best food sources are almonds, sunflower seeds, and camelina oil. Camelina oil is one of the richest sources of vitamin E. And what's really cool is that it has not just D-alpha tocopherol, it has other members of the tocopherol family, beta tocopherol and gamma tocopherol. So you're not just giving your horse one isolated, fractionized, made in a lab vitamin E. You are actually giving your horse a full complement or spectrum of vitamin E when it's from food.
Okay. What about my mom is big on taking vitamin E for herself, and she gets those Nature Made capsules, but you know, it's gelatin and then it's the oil inside.
Okay, so this is where reading the label becomes really important. If it says natural vitamin E, it still can be an acetate.
Okay. Good to know.
Natural doesn't mean anything.
Right. That's right. It doesn't.
Generally, when it's 100% synthetic, it says DNL, DL, alpha tocopherol. If it's from a earth source, meaning palm, or even mixed with acetate, it says D-alpha tocopherol. But you have to ask the supplier, the manufacturer, where does the vitamin E come from? And this is something that consumers aren't used to asking because we see it labeled natural. And we go, well, this is natural vitamin E. Everything is fine.
Right. That makes sense.
Because the companies don't have to tell you that the solvent hexane was used. And they don't have to tell you that an acetate was used.
Right. Right. Yes. And that's with not just vitamin E, that's with anything else that says it's natural made. Correct.
Right. Natural really doesn't mean anything.
Okay. So how much should our horses be getting?
Okay, so there's a lot of thought on this. And when research is done, they use a D-alpha tocopherol from palm or with acetate. Okay, they don't use any vitamin E from food as their model. So the international units, which is how vitamin E is measured, are much greater when you have to use it from a, you know, man-made or man-extracted source.
Okay.
So a daily intake is going to be, you know, 1,500 to 3,000 units a day. Now, a horse that's on pasture 12 hours a day is probably getting that much. A horse that is only getting an hour or two and then is getting hay probably needs at least another 1,000 international units. Now, okay. Here's where it gets tricky. These high amounts are based on the fact that the bioavailability of these vitamin E's, excluding that from food, is, 10 to 15%, particularly with an acetate, maybe a little higher with palm oil, but you've still got the hexane to deal with. Vitamin E in its whole food form is 60% bioavailable. So 100 international units of vitamin E from an almond is worth almost 1,000 international units of one that's made in a lab or is so-called natural.
Wow.
When you take the cofactors out of food, like when they extract the vitamin E from palm oil, they're leaving behind all the other oil cofactors in that food that aid in the bioavailability.
Okay. So does BioStar offer a vitamin E that is made without the acetate and made without the other neurotoxin?
We don't make a straight vitamin E. We offer camelina oil with the very high high content of vitamin E that just occurs in that oil.
Okay.
When we use vitamin E in our supplements, we use ground up almonds.
Okay.
And horses love almonds. Love them. Will eat them out of your hand. Will do tricks for almonds. And
so you can do quicker training with almonds.
It's a big time.
And give your horse vitamin E at the same time.
Yes. Some horses, the whole almonds are a little hard for them to chew, so
okay.
I generally recommend a sliced almond. Or online you can buy, unbleached almond flour, which is just ground up almonds. And
oh,
I generally
okay.
recommend, a quarter to a third of a cup twice a day. Oh, and
okay.
you can do the same with sunflower seeds. That's another good source of vitamin E.
And I love sunflower seeds, too. Yep. That sounds great. Well, where can they find more information, Tigger?
Well, they can go to biostarus.com. And I know we've got an article on camelina oil that will explain the specific family of vitamin E that the tocopherols that come from camelina oil.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Great. So they can go to the website, which is biostarus.com, and find out more information on this very important vitamin that our horses and we humans need as well. Well, thank you, Tigger.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kim.
Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Kim on the Kim Baker episode that we do once a month on the fourth Thursday of every month. And if you missed past episodes of Kim's show, you can go to justhorsesinthemorning.com and just search for Kim Baker, and you'll find all the past episodes there. Well, Kim, we are. I got to talk to you a little bit about something that you did. Were you at Denver Comic Con as press? How did that work?
Yeah, so I'm a photographer as well. And if anybody is anybody that's in the Denver area is interested in like pet photography or anything like that, I'd be happy to do that for you. But I worked for 303 Magazine, which is a local magazine that covers all kinds of events. And I was able to get press passes through 303 Magazine to cover Denver Comic Con. So anybody that watches Big Bang Theory or anything like that, these Comic Cons happen all over the U.S. San Diego is the biggest one. Denver is the second largest one that is a nonprofit organization. So it's run by a company called Pop Culture Classroom. And they bring free literacy programs to kids.
And they're actually starting to go into the Denver County jails as well and work with adults and teach them, you know, how to read, how to draw. So they're big into STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And basically they want to, you know, enable the adults that when they are released, that they have skills and they can go out and get jobs in the, you know, whether they're interested in comics or art or whatever they might be interested in, that then they've got some skills that they can go and pursue once they've been released. So it's a really cool nonprofit organization. I got to interview the director for an hour. Very passionate. He has a tattoo of Batman, the Batman symbol, on his ring finger. I can't remember which hand it is. And it was funny because in talking with their PR rep and then Jason, who introduced me to Bruce, the director, you know, I admitted I'd never been to Comic-Con before, but I have a little bit of street cred because I'm a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. I watch The Vampire Diaries and love anything that has to do with, like, dragons and magic and stuff like that. So I'm not into comics quite so much, but the cool thing about our Comic-Con, Denver Comic-Con, is that it's not just comics. It's you know, Star Wars and Star Trek, and it's the, you know, the pop culture of the TV and the films, and they put on these great little educational programs, and you can talk to the voiceovers. You can speak to the artists that draw the comic books. They have Celebrity Alley, so they had, you know, Director Skinner from The X-Files, and Sean Astin, who is in The Lord of the Rings and Goonies, and, you know, he's been in a lot of different movies. Encino Man, the cave one with Brendan Fraser, and there are all kinds of other celebrities there, too. In fact, they had the 30-year reunion for the movie Weird Science. So they had Ilan Mitchell-Smith, Anthony Michael Hall, and Kelly LeBrock. And I got first row, front row, was able to take photos of them. It was really cool. They're so funny. Like, especially Anthony Michael Hall, he's got a great sense of humor, and they were just wonderful. In fact, there was a gal, she was in a wheelchair. She had a question, because you can ask them questions. You have to go stand in line at the mics in the alleyways. Well, you know, she didn't want to motor over there, and so, you know, they're like, hey, can somebody get her a mic? Well, Anthony Michael Hall just got up out of his seat, walked across stage, and went down and handed her the mic directly. And she was so cute. She's like, oh, my God, you know, because he actually came up to her and everything. It was just, it was really neat. It was really cool to see their personalities. And to let you know, Kelly LeBrock is a big horse gal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we might have to see if we can get her on the show sometime.
There you go. You know, usually we found if you can get to the star, if you can actually, you know, converse with them in some way where they actually hear you, they'll come on to talk about horses because nobody ever asks them about their horses.
Exactly.
So, but it's getting to them. Like Kaylee Kuko, we've tried many, many times to get through to her, you know, because she's a big horse girl, but we've never gotten her yet. So
I know, I've tried to. Yeah, that's the problem. You have to get through the PR firms.
Right. And they don't care. Yeah. And they don't get the horse thing. And they really don't care about them talking about horses because it doesn't do the PR firm any good. So
exactly. It's not big enough. It's not a big enough. Yeah.
Well, they're not promoting their show or their movie. So they don't care about that. Yeah.
I know. I've been there many times. But, so they have a big, in the Comic-Con, they have a big vendor section. And I was walking around. My dad had gotten tickets for my nephew. So I hooked up with them on Saturday and walked around with them. The Legoland area was, like, amazing. They had all this Star Wars stuff, and I couldn't believe this stuff was built out of Legos. But the coolest thing for us horse people, especially horse gals, is there is a guy that his company is called Dead Time Toys. And he was in costume. He had the, like, creepy little vampire contact eyes in. And he takes Barbie dolls and My Little Ponies, and he turns them into dead toys. So they can be, like, zombie-looking, they can have blood and guts coming out, or, like, the ones that I liked is he took glitter and he painted, like, the, you know, the bones and stuff on the little ponies. And you guys will have to grab that photo and you know, with the show or something, post it on your guys' Facebook page so people can see. But one of them, it's a black pony, and then he's got purple glitter. He's got the skull, and the one I really like is the one in the middle, the Pegasus, the white one that has purple and green. I love them so much. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I want one. So I'm going to have to figure out how to get myself one.
You know, and everybody listens to the show on a regular basis knows how I feel about My Little Pony. So these are perfect. These are perfect. They're dead My Little Ponies. That's perfect.
Yeah,
I can't think of anything better, actually.
They are just the coolest things. He had, I just took a picture of the three that were on top of the cover, but he had a bunch more that were in like little cubby holes down below. I should have taken more pictures to see his inventory. Well, but
how many people actually come? Now, you said there were 100,000 people there. How many of those people are in costume?
Oh, I would say probably 80%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That many?
That many.
Wow.
I mean, you're walking around, and every time you look, I mean, there's a new costume, and some of them, I don't know, because some of them are new with the cartoons and things for the kids, and I don't know any of that stuff. So I'm asking my nephews, I'm like, well, who's that? What's that?
And some of them are elaborate and just, you know, they spent 3 months putting them together and spent 10 grand on them, you know?
Oh, exactly. Like there's one, I posted a link to the, to my gallery of, the 60 some odd photos that, I posted for 303 magazine. Cause there was a guy, I think it was a guy. I don't know. I couldn't tell. He, and I don't know what exactly his costume was, but he was like a pterodactyl, kind of what it looked like to me. But he was walking on crutches, and his costume was, I'm like, I can't imagine walking around all day on that thing. Like, it was unbelievable, and you're right. Some of them are so elaborate.
Well, I assume Mad Max will be making a comeback after this newest movie out. So we'll be seeing all the Mad Max. And there are costumes that are kind of easy to make. You know, and is kind of the steampunk thing, is that still in or is that going out now?
I don't know. Everything was just so different.
Yeah.
Marvel
has to be the biggest thing, right? I mean, you're probably seeing Marvel everything.
There were Disney princesses. I mean, it really, you know, was all across. I thought I'd see more like Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff, but not so much. It was more of, you know, definitely like Batman, Robin, and Avengers were big, Captain America.
Yeah, sure. Sure, you saw a thousand Captain Americas.
Right. There was a gal that was Laura Croft, you know, the
Tomb Raider
video game.
Yeah.
And, you know, what else? I don't know who they are.
Did you come away thinking that was fun, or did you come away shaking your head? How'd you come away from it?
It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was great time for me, you know, to spend with my dad and my nephews. You know, I didn't spend enough time with my nephews. So it was really cool because they got so excited about it. And my older nephew, he'll be 15 in November or October. And, like, nobody else really speaks geek with him. You know, he's real big into computers, and he's going to be an engineer. Like, he'll take anything apart or, you know, create something just out of, like, scrap stuff. And so it's really cool because I don't know everything that he's talking about, but I can keep up with him. And so that's really special for him. And the younger one, Owen, he's not quite as techie, but, you know, enjoys it. And they had a bunch of 3D printers, and so it was really cool. They're doing pottery with one of the 3D printers, and in fact, the awards for the cosplay shindig, which is a costume contest, was made out of 3D printers, too. So it's really cool what they're doing with the 3D printers.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm glad you got to go. That's something that's on Jennifer and I's bucket list. And, you know, Jennifer would not have said that 10 years ago, but she's a huge Marvel fan now. So I think, Jennifer, you'd go to a Comic-Con at this point. I think she would definitely go.
I would totally go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's one in Orlando. We'll have to check that one out.
You know, it's not as geeky as people think. And there's just so much. a variety of things. And so if, you know, if you're into, like they had, and there were a couple of costume places too that were there that were selling, you know, like medieval costumes. Like I always love, you know, the gowns and the robes and things like that. So that's really cool. Or if you're into like meeting some of the celebrities that do some of this stuff, then, you know, and, or if you just want to pee, I mean, this is like the best place to people watch ever.
I bet. And if you're a photographer like you, it must be heaven, because you where else are you going to get those kind of pictures?
Exactly.
So, well, very good. That's really cool, Kim. I'm so excited that you got to go do that. And, you know, I'm sure there's some people at home shaking their heads. But
but the highlight for me was the dead My Little Pony.
Me too. I love the pictures.
Those things are awesome.
And I posted a picture. I just shared your picture of the little Joker.
I know. And he's so cute.
The little kid playing Joker. And he's probably, what, 8, 6? 5,
yeah,
you know, somewhere in that range. And he has the little whole Joker outfit on, and he's just standing there, and he looks so cute.
He was part of the cosplay shindig, and I have a series of photos. That was the best photo. But there's one where, like, he's not smiling, and then the one that you shared is the one of him smiling. And it's just, he's so cute.
Well, very good. Well, what do you want to do here next? Jennifer is going to be getting our next guest on the line, and we're going to be talking a little bit. We're kind of switching gears a little bit to Horses in Pain. Did you want to take a break for a song or go right into it?
We can. Well, actually, I kind of want to lead into it, if that's okay. So,
all right, go ahead.
Ed Crothers is going to be talking to us about Good Horses Gone Bad, and his message is that 90% of the time he's finding when a horse is behaving badly or acting out, it's due to pain. And I have found very similar in my experiences with training horses as well. And in fact, there was this little Haflinger Welsh pony cross, and his name was Boone, and he was the cutest little guy ever. And this horse, I swear, when I would work with him, and I would go to shoo a fly away from my face, he would want to be on the other side of the world. Like, that's how crazy sensitive he was. And I'm like, what is going on with this horse? Well, he has all the same big teeth that, you know, the large horses and draft horses have, but he has 2/3 the space. So the first thing I did was I got the natural dentist out. And, of course, he had all kinds of crazy stuff, sharp points, you know, things going on in his head, which was causing him a lot of pain. So I kid you not, like, the next day, after having the dental work done, if I went to shoo a fly away from my face, he did not react at all. And it's like, oh, great, you know, we're working on here. And so we just...
Yeah, because everybody normally thinks that if that's the case, that he must have been hit in the face before, you know? That's the assumption that everybody makes right away, is he had to have been abused or somebody hit him in the face, and that's why he's reacting that way.
Right. Yeah. And it's not, you know, so it's our job that when a horse is doing something that we don't want them to do, you know, we need to, you know, look at what's going on. So can we communicate in a different way that the horse can understand? Maybe they just are confused and don't understand, especially young horses. They don't know. You know, they don't. They just don't know. So you have to explain to them what's going on and provide options for them in a way that they understand. If that's not working and the horse is still, you know, reacting, then you definitely have to look at what's going on with the body. And teeth, I have found, excuse me, my voice, are one of the biggest things that could be going on, you know, causing headaches or whatever. And if the teeth aren't correct, the rest of the body isn't correct either. And I'll share that with my clients as well, that, you know, if you go and you get chiropractic work done, but the teeth aren't correct, the chiropractic work isn't going to hold. So sometimes you have to do that because the horse is just so uncomfortable. You know, if you're waiting for the dentist to come out, then, you know, you just got to take the horse's best interest into it. So that's what I found. But I believe Ed is ready. And Ed, welcome to the show.
Hold on here a second. Ed, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Hi, Ed. Well, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. So I was just doing a little bit of intro of some of my experiences that I've seen in training courses as well, as far as, you know, crazy bad behavior, you know, labeled as that, and, you know, coming to find out that, you know, it's some type of pain issue and fixing the body, and then the horses, sometimes it's not quite as simple. Other times it's more complicated. It's like peeling layers of an onion. You just keep, if they've been in a lot of pain, a lot of, you know, things have gone on for long periods of time, then you are going to peel those layers. But sometimes it's a simple fix. So you have been working with horses since you were 14. You yep. have trained over, what is it, 3,000 some odd horses? Which is amazing. And you feel the same way, that that you, for many years now, you've been looking into what causes horses to show disrespect, and you have found that 90% of the time is due to pain. So tell us a little bit more about you, about your background, and what you think.
Okay, well, actually, when I was a very young kid, my dream was to grow up and be a trainer. And, of course, my dream came true. It's probably been at least the last 19 years that I figured this out on the 90% of disrespect is pain. Before that, you know, I specialize in the bad horses, the horses that's hurt people, the horses that, you know, their last stop could be, if I can't fix them, they're going to the killers. You know, they put people in the hospital. So, you know, I was the guy that said, bring me all the crazy horses and I can ride. Well, unfortunately, when you got bucked off 15 times a day because you rode 15 bad horses, I decided that there has to be a simpler way to figure out why are these animals going over the call of duty just to say, you know, I don't want to be rode. And
right.
So I ended up start following some of these bad horses around and jotting things down and find out how they ate, how they had to move their body to do normal stuff, how they would have to eat grass, how when they took off running, how they would have to change gears, go sideways, or whatever, to do the simple things that a good, healthy horse could just go and do. And then I started troubleshooting and started figuring out that these animals have 1, 2, 3, 4 pain issues. And once started eliminating the pain issues, then I had a softer eye, a softer horse, and a horse that says, okay, I understand what you are asking me to do, and I'm going to give you 100%.
So what do you...
The biggest thing is... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No, go ahead. Go ahead and finish that thought.
Well, and the thing I got figuring out is why is these horses that are bad working so hard? Horses don't want to work any harder than they have to. You know, the horse that's...
Right.
Bucking and screaming, doing the wild thing or flipping over backwards, he didn't have to go through that extreme to scare me. You know, but the pain pushes the problem, and then you got pain disrespect. So you have the over the top, you have all of this horse to the point that he's unsafe to ride.
So what are you finding? And that's a great point, right? Like, if you watch horses, domestic horses or wild horses, like, they conserve their energy. They don't, you know, unless they're running from a predator or, a storm's coming in or something, temperatures drop and they're, you know, playing and having fun kicking up their heels. But for the most part, like, it is. It's a lot of energy to expend to run around bucking and rearing and especially flipping over backwards and things like that. So what have you found to be the most common, and of course, every horse is an individual, so I'm totally aware of that. Each situation is individual, but on average, have you found like a common like theme that tends to cause these problems?
The biggest problem that we get into the pain horses, unfortunately, we can't see the pain. We don't really realize it. And the pain issues are usually started. Our horses start with a little bit of problem. Pain number one starts here, say the neck. And now the animal's getting off in that area. Pain number two's in the back. Also, you know, pain number three. We are now into the hindquarters. You know, now we have 3 to 4 pain issues. Now this causes actually a stomach ulcer, which us as people, if we have stress or it goes, you know, we start having some stomach problems. So now we have a stomach ulcer. Now we're putting a saddle on. Now we're cranking it up. My stomach hurts. Now I'm going to put all this pressure on. Now I'm going to climb up. And now I'm going to sit down on your sore back, now your sore stomach. And then I'm going to ask you to move. Now you move from the pain very rapidly. Of course, we grab them in the front and snatch them up so we don't go on this wild ride. And then we've created pretty much what I call a horse bomb. And, you know, and then, you know, the other thing is your regular maintenance. You know, you got your teeth, you got your feet. So if you add some of this other stuff, okay, well, you know, and you know, feet work, most of the time we do feet work pretty good. Unfortunately, teeth we can't see. So sometimes we can be a little slow on getting the teeth done just because we can't see them to see that they are bad. And
right.
Most of us don't stick our fingers in their mouth to see, oh, God, his teeth is bad. I mean, you know, last place we want to do is, you know, if you don't know how to do it, sticking your finger in his mouth and feeling the side of his teeth to see if he needs to be done. So when you put all these things together, there's not a serious problem, but it's like a person. You have a toothache, you have a headache, and you have a bad knee, okay? It's a bad
right.
knee that you fool with all day long, I mean, your whole life. But when you add a toothache and a headache to it, you're the miserable person for that day. And you're definitely not
right.
going to walk around 50 pounds on your back.
Right, I was going to say, then you,
yeah.
You throw a 50-pound saddle and a 150-pound person on top of that, you're going to be one cranky person.
That's correct. And unfortunately, you know, the equine world has changed here in the last 15 to 20 years. These great clinicians out here has opened doors for so many people, and the credibility of being able to get videos and be able to do some really cool stuff with your horse at home that wasn't available when I was growing up. That
right.
is so great. But unfortunately, I, you know, get thinking about these poor people that, you know, they've watched these videos, they've learned so much, and they're going out there not knowing their horse that has these pain issues, and they're putting this stuff together, and their horse is saying, talk to the hand, the face don't care, and running off and dragging people. I had a lady here a couple of months ago. She was a Pirelli fan, and, I mean, she knowed how to do it as good as anybody, and her horse wouldn't do it. Well, she brings the horse here, and he's bucking and this and that. We fixed his problems, and he had 7 different pain areas. Fixed all of those. The lady comes back 10 days later, and I said, I want you to go out there and show me what your horse won't do for you, Pirelli. She goes out there, and this horse hit everything as well as you would ever dreamed, and she just went to the round pen and started crying. So, and the end of the story is, this horse had learned everything that she had taught him and had absorbed it, but his pain issues would not let him to perform. And once the pain was gone, the horse says, yes, ma'am, I can do everything that you have been working for the last 6 months.
Right. So is it okay for you to share, like, what you said, you identified 7 pain areas. So can you tell us what those are, what those were?
Well, and of course, one was definitely an ulcer. The horse was out in a pole. And the horse had a hock that was bothering him on the right side, which also had a little problem on the left ankle. Also on the right side of his neck. And also, I think they said there was a rib out. You know, the horse was pushy. He was disrespectful. He'd knock you down. He would spin around. You know, when you led this horse, you couldn't, every time you lead him normally, like pulling his head to you as we walk along, this horse kept his head tilted to the right all the time, was taking pressure
mm-hmm.
off the problem that he had on the right side of his neck. So unfortunately, when you pulled his head to walk like you're supposed to, this horse would spin around, and actually throw his rear end into you or his body into you so he could turn his head, not to kick you, but he had to do that so he could get his head tilted back to the right. Because
right.
Of and, you know, and once this was all, these problems were cleared up and, you know, the stomach and just the routine, him understanding that he doesn't hurt no more. That's the other problem. You know,
right.
These animals, you have to get their mind programmed on the idea that, guess what, you turn your head to left, it doesn't hurt no more. And it's like us, like a person with a broken leg. Once the cast is off, you look, this person is still limping for a few days because his mind says, I've got to protect this leg. Even that it's, you know, even that's nothing wrong with it now, it takes a little while before your mind quits thinking that I have to protect. And so the horse went out. I just got off, just got done doing a horse here that he brought in that hurt two people about 15 days ago. And this is a horse that's, I don't know, 15 years old, well-trained, this and that, and fixed the horse and got him, his mind straightened up and he doesn't hurt no more. And so I was riding him, and so I put a little pressure on the front. This horse just spun around so fast, he about spun me off. And next thing I know, I sit down, he slides to a stop, I put a leg on him, he spins the other way. You know, and then I just let go of the bridle, and I'm loping him, jogging him, stopping him, and backing him, and doing wild spins with no hands. Okay, so, you know, the horse that nobody could ride was trained. And then once to the pain, and he was comfortable with it, I mean, if you'd have seen me riding, you'd have said, man, you've really done great with that horse. I told one of the people that worked for me, because we videoed some of his problems, and I told them, I said, should have videoed, or we should video me riding him good so I can say what I did in 10 days. But, you know, and that's the biggest thing I'm pushing and I'm really trying to get out there is just to show these animals are talking to us on body language, you know, on different things of saying, hey, I'm hurting.
Right. So what was wrong with that horse? What were the pain?
He had, I mean, he was just totally... just totally everywhere. Now, he had really bad teeth, and a lot of your older horses don't get their teeth done enough, and that's usually pretty common, and also the pole. He was out in the pole, and most of these horses, unfortunately, that's in all this pain, had stomach ulcers, which he, you know, of course, had a stomach ulcer, and also his right stifle was locking up. And, you know, and just mentally and physically, just, you know, a lot of different problems, all because of us still trying to ride this horse fixed.
So, I had a horse, a beautiful Palomino. Whoever started this horse put an amazing foundation on this horse because the owner had a couple shoulder surgeries, so it's like, you know, he hadn't been ridden in a year. He was a young horse, and she would send him to me to, you know, get him ready for her to ride. And, I mean, this horse, you know, just went back to stuff, and I'd worked with him several times. And then she had her other shoulder done, and so I got him for another 30 days. Well, I went to ride him and asked him to go into a canter, and he started bucking. And I was like, well, that's not his personality. What the heck's going on? So, you know, I checked over his body and found that his teeth could, you know, they weren't terrible, but, you know, some horses are more sensitive than others. He could have used a little bit of adjustment. And I've been taught with the dentist that I've been working with that I can look at the incisors and have an idea of what's going on with the molars. I do not stick my hands in their mouth. I want to keep my hands. but his pole was out, like left ribs were out, the hips were out, like, you know, he had a bunch of stuff that was out. It's like, oh, no wonder he's, you know, wanting to buck and stuff. And so, you know, I went to tell the my client, and, you know, she'd, with the surgeries and all that, like, she just didn't have a lot of cash left over. So she wasn't willing to, you know, have him fixed. And I said, okay, well, you know, then I'm not going to be able to. She wanted me to get him real nice and soft for her.
And I said, well, you know, until we address these issues, like, he's not going to be soft because he physically can't and he's in pain. And so I just want to, you know, let you know right up front what's going on. So sometimes, you know, most people are really willing to, you know, get the horse fixed. And some aren't. And so, you know, and it just depends. Like, ribs out, hips out, stuff like that, it's not necessarily something that somebody did to the horse. You know, they could have slipped in the mud. They could have, like, rolled wrong and, you know, just popped stuff out. Like, I typically, for chiropractic, I'll make sure that my horses are adjusted every 6 months. Now, I did have a pain, which I mentioned earlier in the show, that had a whole boatload of pain issues. And I had to get him adjusted, like, every 2 months. So there's so many different variations. Like, he was a lesson horse, so I had a bunch of beginner riders on him. So that's constantly changing, you know, their body and stuff too. So it really just depends on the individual horse as to, you know, what's going on. If they've got a single owner, you know, then you might be able to get them fixed once. This was a question that someone had texted in, so that's I'm answering that question. They were saying, you know, is this constant care? Is this, you know, something that needs to be fixed all the time? It really just depends on the individual horse, and I'm sure you have found the same, correct, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that, you know, these horses get one problem, and chiropractor, and then vet problems, and they just get one problem, and they just take one and make two, make three, until you've got this horse that you're riding that is hurting, and unfortunately you don't see him limping. You really can't actually see that he's physically hurt, and you take his "I'm hurting everywhere" and you take that as he just don't want to be rode today. He doesn't want to perform for you today. You know, most of the time horses will, if you're nice to them, you take great care, which most equine people do. They love their horses, is why we're in it. If you do all that, they are going to give you 100% back. And if they're not, there's a reason.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I was mentioning that earlier. If they're not, then it's our job to play detective. So is it a communication issue? Maybe they just don't understand, especially with a young horse that doesn't know, maybe they just don't understand what you're asking them to do. It may not necessarily be pain-related. But if you're trying all these different ways and you're still getting, right, you know, the same reaction, right, then it's like, okay, definitely need to look at, okay, what's going on with the body. And especially I have found that if I'm constantly seeing the same thing, so like, you know, if a horse is going around me and, you know, and I'm asking them to, you know, on the lead light to bend in the, you know, in the rib cage, and they're fine one direction, but they're really stiff in the other direction, and that's pretty consistent, then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to check the body. What's going on? Do they have ribs out or the shoulder out or something like that?
Yeah, perfect.
And
that's
so,
exactly it.
You know, and I saw that, in fact, actually at a horse expo. I saw a clinician that was working a horse, and the clinician, and it's a different world when you're in an expo because you're trying to get so much information across in a short amount of time. But what frustrated me is the horse wasn't going as well one direction as the other, and I think it was to the left. And so the clinician was saying, oh, well, this, you know, this horse is just being resistant on this side. And this was years ago, before
right,
I really knew what I know now. And I knew then, I'm like, the horse is stiff on that side, so he probably had a shoulder out or you know, maybe the pole or something in the neck.
Yeah,
all different kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I really feel it's our responsibility because, like you said, they are extremely willing to do what you ask. And if they're not, then there's a reason, and it's our job to figure out the reason.
Yeah, I mean, I've had probably in the last maybe 40 or 50 horses that came into the farm here in the last few months, and they're all horses that is either hurt people or horses that they think is disrespectful because they don't want to ride no more. You know, the thing of it is, I mean, I have horses come from here, wherever, for me to, you know, analyze and try to figure out why they're being bad. I had a girl that they brought one in. The horse had bucked her off several times, and she had a cast on. and broke her leg. And they brought the horse to me, and they've been showing. And I'm thinking to myself, as soon as these people leave, I'm going to tack his horse up, and I'm going to sit down, and I want him to buck me. He broke that little girl's leg, and I'm going to get in the round pen or wherever he wants, this horse wants to go. I ain't going to be mean to the horse, but I'm going to sit down deep in the saddle, and I'm going to say, you know, buck me off like you did that poor little girl. I get him out in the round pen, and I get watching, and I get looking, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this guy, he was just in had a gobs of pain issues. And so as many horses I see, you know, when people say, why do you say 90% of disrespect is pain? You know, thank God I get so many horses and so many different kinds and so many personalities. I have not yet ever found a horse that came in here that did not have a reason to be bad. I haven't. I really, of all the numbers scattered all over the place, I cannot find that one horse that come in and says, you know, talk to the hand, the face don't care, you ain't riding me.
Right.
I just found it.
So, Ed, where can people find out more about you, and if they want to get in touch with you, do you have a website, or what kind of contact information would you like to give?
Okay, it's www.goodhorsegonebad.com. and also, I'm in the Thoroughbred Makeover, which is going on here about Thoroughbred, you know, coming off the racetrack and making Thoroughbreds, you know, be able to do other things in their retired life. So I'm pretty excited about that. I've got a horse, just came in here a few weeks ago that I'm going to be using in the competition, and his name is Dreamer. And he won $115,000, and I just started riding him, and he is just super. I mean, this guy is, oh, my goodness. And, of course, I'm just going to be using him in the competition. You know, he's going to be adopted out. And I've
Great.
Got till October, so everybody keeps their fingers crossed I don't fall in love with him. It's not working out real good because it seems like I go to the barn, and he knickers for me and rubs his head on me, and I'm thinking, quit, you know, quit doing this, you know.
Great.
So I'm probably
so where are you located, Ed?
I'm actually located about 30 miles east from Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In a little town called West Union, where I was actually growed up and also met my wife, you know, high school sweetheart. And she's been married for 30 years, and she has put up with me and my horses, so all I can say is she's a great woman.
Well, that's great, Ed. So your website is goodhorsegonebad.com, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Well, really
and
appreciate you.
I have the equine problem chart that they can see on there that, you know, if any of their horses having problems, fill the chart out, and I give some ideas on what direction to go on, who, you know, what kind of help you might need to get for your horse. And, you know, the biggest thing is if your horse don't act right, stay off, because the emergency room doesn't need to see these people. You need to figure out why your horse is trying to get rid of you.
That's excellent point. Well, thank you so much, Ed. Really appreciate you being on the show, and thanks for what you're doing with the horses. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Interesting conversation, something that we don't think about because of what he said is you don't see it necessarily. You don't always
exactly.
see it. You know, we always we know when a horse is lame and they're hobbling. That's one thing, but you don't always see what's going on. And you know, just like when sometimes we don't feel well and everybody around us goes, "Well, you look fine." Well,
right. That's it exactly. And the biggest thing, you know, for me again, I'm going to be harping on this is the teeth. And we don't see the teeth. We don't look in our horse's mouth, so we don't have a clue. And especially the molars. I mean, they run so far back, you know, in their head. And, you know, it's like the halter sits on there, the bridle sits on there. Every time, I mean, if anybody's ever had tooth pain, it's pretty excruciating, you know, if you just move your head. So now think about a horse and then putting all that stuff on there. It's a big deal.
Well, very good. Well, we're going to have to wrap up the show today. It went by fast today. And we'll be back tomorrow here on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Jamie is off. She is on her way for her dad's birthday in Georgia, so she'll be traveling. But Mary Kitzmiller should be here for the Mary Kitzmiller episode that we do once a month. Now, I say should because she lives in Texas, and we don't know exactly. You know, I know she was hiding in storm shelters for the last couple of days, so hopefully everything's fine there and she'll be able to do the show, but we'll let you know more about that on our Facebook page as we go along. And we do want to say from Kim and I and Jennifer and everybody here at the Horse Radio Network that our thoughts and prayers are with everybody in Texas who's affected by the flooding. I was watching some videos this morning. It's unbelievable, the Houston area.
It is unbelievable. And I just want to say thank you because I've seen several videos of people saving horses and animals that have been caught in the floods. And all the rescue workers and everybody that's involved, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you do. And thoughts and prayers are with you all.
Yeah, well, and, you know, for years and years and years, they prayed for rain because it was so dry. They were having a massive drought in Texas, and now we're praying to have that slow down a bit.
It's feast or famine. It's very interesting.
Yep. Very, of course, Kim, tell us about where they can find you and all that stuff.
Yes, well, I'd like to thank our show sponsors, BioStar US, Authentic Whole Food Nutrition for Horses and Dogs, KB Natural Horsemanship, Building Quality Partners and Lasting Relationships from the Ground Up, Kim Baker, Animal Communicator, Animals Talk, I Listen, and Kim Baker Media. So if you're interested in animal, rodeo, horse, nature, photography, anything that inspires you and feeds your soul, you can check it out there at KimBakerMedia.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, The Kim Baker Show. Follow on Twitter, Kim Baker Show. And our horse wisdom message for this month is sometimes you just have to open your mind to new possibilities. And our closing prayer is may there be peace in your spirit, peace in your heart, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. Have a great day.